Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Institute for Personal Development, where total consciousness is the new frontier. Kriya Yoga is the union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices that initiate this process.
And good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Choi, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. So Swami will be joining us in just a few moments. So in the meantime, I'd like to give you the summary of today's program. So I want to thank you listeners for tuning in. Today on The Voice of Yoga, we will be talking about the new year 2017, and how it can be a wonderful time to start a new life. We will discuss the power of the mind and how it can be used to create changes in our reality. Join in as Swami explains some of the Kriya Yoga concepts about the mind and chakra system and how to use resolutions as affirmations with clear intentions. The best way to predict your future is to create it. Resolutions are thoughts with specific intentions, and how we think is what we become. Listen as we show how to use the mind to create our future. So join our Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul to help give your thoughts the power of intention. So what I thought I would first do before we begin is maybe give a little bit of a history about New Year's Day. And this information I got from the Wynn Calendar website. And so a little bit about New Year's Day history. Baby New Year is the most common symbol associated with this holiday. But let's start. New Year's Day marks the start of a new year on the Gregorian calendar. The Gregorian calendar was first introduced by Pope Gregory the 13th in 1552 and began used in 1781. It is a solar calendar which maintains the same with the tropical year. This holiday is celebrated every year on January 1st. And like I said earlier, the baby New Year is the most common symbol associated with this holiday. He is a toddler dressed in a diaper, hat, and sash bearing the numbers of the new year. The myth states that he matures into an old man during the course of the year. On December 31st, he hands his hat and sash to the new baby New Year. So Swami, I think that's kind of an interesting myth. Do you think that maybe that could symbolize that we should be growing throughout the year?
Well, yeah, it's the symbol of bringing out the old and bringing in the new. And I think what's quite interesting about this particular new year is the numerology of the years, that 2016 was a 9 and 2017 is a 1. So it kind of 9, you know, when in numerology, when you use your single digit numbers kind of like as the building blocks, the 9 is kind of like at the end of the scale. And now we're going all the way back to 1. So there's a big difference in the focus of these numbers, that the 9 really is much more associated with collective awareness and the higher mind, whereas the 1 is very primal. It's more about the basics of I, me, mine, and it's very individual. And it's really associated more with the lower mind. And I think that's an important thing that this year might bring for us, is that it's going to be more about me than about everybody else, which is kind of an interesting thing, because that's one of the things we always talk about, is that most of us today are just so self-absorbed anyway. And I And I think that's where the imbalance comes. That if you don't have that sense of being separate and at the same time universal, that you don't have that broader sense of awareness. And that's one of the things that Kriya Yoga will do for you.
What came to my mind when you were saying that was the fact that we've talked about in previous shows many times about trying to awaken the world and raise a level of consciousness. And interesting that this is the year that you said that, you know, the year of I, Me, Mine. So this is going to be a year where people will be thinking more about themselves and their progress on their spiritual path.
Yeah, because you have to act local. And, you know, thinking global is one thing, but you really have to take the small steps. And it really begins with the individual making their connection, the individual taking responsibility for their personal development. And this is stuff that isn't really impacted the collective yet. Like a lot of us, we're stuck in these antiquated ways of approaching spirituality. And that's, again, one of the things that I think is very revolutionary about our approach to Kriya Yoga, is that it's much more scientific.
So where does one begin? So this is the new year. So if this is the year about I, Me, Mine, so where do you recommend that a person begins to try to stay on that spiritual path and work on their spiritual development?
Well, essentially, you have to know the difference between a need and a want. I think it was really interesting on Thursday. We had that class and we were talking about addictions and the dynamics of addiction. And you have to recognize that we're all addicted. We're all codependent, and that we all have essential needs. And once you get a grasp of the simple fact that our essential needs are generic, it's the same for all of us, that the hierarchy of needs begins with this concept of life force or God or prana, however you want to look at that, that the concept of God isn't something you believe in. It's the force right now that is supporting your life. And once you get over the misconception that God is some cosmic puppeteer and something that choose to believe in or not, and you change your point of reference to God being the force right now that is supporting my life, it has pragmatic application. There's benefits of basically using what you need, your number one need, to produce the feeling that I'm okay, because that's not the programming that we come in. And it's really not the information that we're socialized with.
So what's interesting to me is that we have the start of this new year, and like I mentioned earlier, that the about the baby new year, and he grows up to be an older man and then relinquishes his sash and hat to the new year. So that kind of says to me that we should be taking stock throughout the whole year, and there should be some kind of a progression in whatever it is that we're trying to achieve throughout the year. But if we're talking about the spiritual practice, there should be maybe benchmarks along the way that can let us know if we are truly making progress. in trying to work on the spiritual development.
Yeah, and the main thing is it all comes down to what we desire. That we all have needs, and what basically drives the machine, what drives the mind-body complex is instinct, appetite, preservation, and survival. Now, the body has all the power of preservation and survival, but it has no vision and it has no power of discernment. And it comes in with a pattern that it's looking for something visible and tangible. It's looking for either particles or waves, essentially. And there's nothing wrong with it, but nothing happens with that. And that's one of the reasons why our spiritual communities have failed so bad, because we don't make a clear distinction between particles, waves, and this indivisible unified field. And so the more that you educate yourself and the more that you understand that what I need has to be internalized in my body, that you just can't do this academically. And once you have prepared the body and once you've internalized the right image in the body to produce this feeling that I'm happy, I'm special, I'm good enough, then the panel's wired. That's the initiation. That's when the progressive cycle begins. And so basically, I think the focus that you want is just on a very simplistic level, start using what you really do need to produce the feeling in your body that you're happy. I think we discussed this in detail on Thursday night, which was really, I think, beneficial for everybody that was there, that we have to understand that we have a physical body and we have needs, that we're all codependent. And if we have the wrong symbol internalized in the body, then of course nothing happens. There's really only one way that this goes right. There's only one God, there's only one religion, there's only one yoga, there's only one number one need, only one truth. And everything else was what they called a sin. It missed the mark. And so basically trying to just know what your essential need is, and recognizing that it's invisible and intangible, and then going to your number two life-sustaining force, breath. Air is invisible, but it's tangible. You can hold your breath, put yourself in a real life-threatening situation. Now, once you've internalized breath as a symbol, now your body has something that it can sink its teeth into for validation. And you've affected your number two life-sustaining force. But once you start to elevate breath to a position of importance that it warrants in your value system, you're changing how you think, which is now affecting your number one life-sustaining force.
So I have a question for you. So how do we use the, maybe you can explain to us, how do we use the mind and the chakra system to be able to complete what is it you're saying? How do we make that system work for us?
Well, mostly through your path of knowledge, education, understanding that the simple formula to life is how we think is what we become. And thought is an energy capable of producing effects. But then again, it's all measurable based on the amount of strength we emit these thoughts with. So now you come back to the whole concept of belief. Belief is what gives thought the power of intention. And belief really comes from the physical body. When the body feels that it's good enough, then of course you can now emit a thought with the power of intention. If you don't believe that you're good enough, then you will emit the same thought with the burden of doubt, and it will just dribble off. And so the whole key here is you've got to feel good enough. And if you're accustomed to using things that are in constant change, then first of all, you're using a resource that is dualistic. And it's going to fail. It won't give you the return that you're looking for. But if you're using what you really do need, now you're in the realms of the permanent, the unchanging. And so it will give you a consistent return that I'm good enough. And then, of course, from that vantage point, then you have to learn how the mind works. And that's where we use the labyrinth basically to help you understand the chakra system and to be able to break it down into departments in life.
All right, well, great. You know, we're going to hold that thought and pause to hear a word from our sponsor. So listeners, we'll return shortly.
Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat.
If you are looking for a samadhi-based experience, IPD Kriya Yoga has the goods. A complete yoga program that includes the practices and the process. Starting with the separation from mother, including the labors and tasks of the hero and the return as a whole person. Practice makes perfect only when practice is whole. Kriya Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. Samadhi, or total consciousness, is experienced by knowing and doing with devotion. Call or click now and get started. 603-929-0303
or www.ipdtransform.com.
Namaste.
And welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So, Swami, what I'd like to do is maybe talk a little bit about resolutions. And again, from Wynn Calendar, I do have some information. I think it's kind of interesting on why we have these New Year's resolutions. And so some history on that is, the Babylonians made promises to their gods at the start of each year that they would return borrowed objects and pay their debts. That's one of them. Another is the Romans began each year by making promises to the god Janus, for whom the month of January is named. And in the medieval era, the knights took the peacock vow at the end of the Christmas season each year to reaffirm their commitment to chivalry. So I think it's interesting that there is some history behind, you know, starting a new year and reassessing what happened the year before, and you try not to make those same mistakes again in the next year, always trying to develop oneself to be better. So how do we do that? How do we make these resolutions Kriya Yoga style?
That's where I really use my journal. I think journaling is probably one of the best tools with regard to being able to catalog your life. I think one of the things we always say is that the Chinese believe that the unexamined life can be lived, but it can't be enjoyed. And if we continue to do the same thing and repeat the same mistakes and we don't evaluate what it is that we're doing, then we don't really grow. Whereas if you are accustomed to being reflective and introspective and analytical and observant, then at the end of the day, you sit down and you go over some of the highlights of your day. When you're doing this, you do it within a very intelligent way, in a very objective way, that you're not judgmental and you're not critical about what you've done. But when you come to an event or a circumstance or a situation that you are not totally thrilled with what you've done, then you can actually say, well, what would I do differently? Given the same opportunity, what would I do differently? And then at that point, you can start to craft a different response. And if you are accustomed to doing this on a regular basis, and also doing it in a way that you're examining all of the different departments of your life, because that's also a very important part of development, is to know yourself in the way that you're created and not just know yourself in the way we do when we're left to our own devices. That we oftentimes become so preoccupied with certain departments of our lives and we neglect others. That's why a tool like the labyrinth is so valuable, because it forces you to look at all of the different departments in your life, all of the different facets of your mind. And if you are constantly refreshing your imagery and constantly trying to affect these positive changes in your life, and you have a practice that is connecting you to the divine, which then of course you feel good enough, and you're now proactively working with your thoughts, then of course you increase your chances of shaping your reality. And I think the whole thing of predicting your future is by creating your reality. And that's exactly what we're talking about here.
Well, that's very interesting. In my readings, I have discovered that there's about 46% of Americans that do make these resolutions, do make these goals. And out of those people, less than 20% feel that they've been successful with their resolutions, with their goals. So I think it's interesting that maybe if those people who didn't feel they were successful, if they did have a tool that they could have used to examine, like you said, all the departments of their life, then maybe they would have had more of a better success rate.
Yeah, and it's not just examining. See, we have to change the patterns of our body. And that's one of the things that the Kriya Yoga that we teach really focuses on. That you've got to make the change go deep enough. And like you say, I mean, all you have to do is go to a gym on January 1st or January 2nd, and it's packed. And usually by the end of the week, it starts to thin out pretty quickly. Now all of the resolutions are out of there, and the people that are accustomed to going to the gym on a regular basis, then they have access to all of the equipment. And that's very telling, because it's just like what we say, if the change doesn't go deep enough, then you're going to fall back into your old pattern. And that's a big thing of how the Kriya Yoga that we teach works, is that you actually work on changing your pattern, changing your neurological pathways, so that eventually you can actually make these promises and keep them.
So is that what you mean when I said earlier in the summary that that's how we use the mind to create our future?
Yeah, because you don't just use the mind and you don't just use the body. You work and you develop a relationship between your mind and your body. And you recognize that the pattern of your body has the power. And that's one of the reasons why oftentimes when we internalize wrong images, we create these addictions. And it's way beyond our scope of power, even though mentally we may know that this destructive behavior is no good for us, we find that we're underpowered and ill-equipped to move beyond it. And if you're just hacking at the branches of the problem and you don't go to the root, then of course you find yourself frustrated. Now, working the relationship between the mind and the body is where a Kriya Yoga practice works. And in order to do this successfully, the mind and the body have to come together in a harmonious relationship. So you're not just going to mentally brutalize your body. And that's oftentimes what a lot of us do. You know, we abstain from the things that we were using to validate ourselves until eventually the body is going to just win out. And whatever it is that you are addicted to continues to resurface itself. Whereas if you actually change what it is that you're addicted to, then of course you win the power of the body. And once you have that in your command, then of course the next part of it is you start to ask for what you want in the language that the universe understands. And then you can actually start to be much more proactive with shaping your reality as opposed to being just the victim that everything is happening to.
So that is what you mean when we said earlier, the best way to predict your future is to create it?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And you create it on all of these different levels. And that's why Kriya Yoga is a path of action. It's a path of knowledge and it's a path of devotion. Because if you don't have all your ducks in order, then it's not going to give you the result that you're looking for.
So the resolutions are thoughts with specific intentions, and how we think is what we become. So we don't want to be general when we make these resolutions or goals. We have to actually admit these thoughts with intention.
Right, exactly. And if you don't believe that you're good enough, is what we were saying, then of course you're going to emit these thoughts. You can say it over and over and over again. And then of course, there's always the placebo effect of anything. So oftentimes we believe in a yoga practice. And if you believe in your yoga practice, then it will give you what it is that you're looking for to emit a thought with the power of intention. But then, of course, if you believe that you're good enough and you continue to ask for the wrong things in the wrong language, then, of course, it becomes ineffectual. It's kind of like turning on a light and then closing your eyes.
That's great. Well, I think it is about that time we have to start closing down the show today. So in closing, I invite you listeners out there to visit the website. That's www.ipdtransform.com. And then once you're there, you can post comments, questions about today's show. And any ideas you'd like to give us for a future show, that would be helpful as well. And but sure to follow Swami on Pinterest and Twitter and, of course, on Facebook. And be sure to tune in next week. We will be unboxing, I believe, the Ten Commandments. So, Swami, do you have any final thoughts or comments about today's show?
Well, I would like to wish everybody a Happy New Year and the best of luck with any resolutions that they are working towards, because it's very good to have goals and objectives. And if you aren't successful, then I would recommend that you give us a call and maybe try some of the things that we do here. And with that, I'll wish everybody a good day. Namaste.
And thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton along with Swami Jayananda signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Happy New Year and Namaste.